AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky and President Trump are meeting behind closed doors at the White House at this hour. Prior to their one-on-one, Trump said he understands the challenges involved in ending Russia's invasion of Ukraine.
Tremendous bad blood. It really is what is holding up, I think, a settlement. I think we're going to get it done, and we have to make it long-lasting, as I said, in the Middle East, everlasting, right? Everlasting.
Zelensky asked for Tomahawk missiles and more.
You don't use just Tomahawks. If you want to target a military goal, you need thousands of drones.
Trump said he's reluctant to give Ukraine missiles that can reach far into Russia.
It's not easy for us to give. You're talking about massive numbers of very powerful weapons. So that's one of the things we'll be talking about. Hopefully they won't need it. Hopefully we'll be able to get the war over with without thinking about Tomahawks.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. How did Wisconsin end fiscal year 2025? Joanne Krulatz has the answer.
The Evers administration has announced the state ended fiscal year 2025 with a positive ending balance of $4.6 billion in the general fund, the state's main checking account exceeding previous estimates by over $265 million. Additionally, the state's rainy day fund, also known as the budget stabilization fund, increased to approximately $2 billion. This is the largest balance in the rainy day fund in state history, which has grown by over $1.6 billion under Governor Evers' leadership, more than six times what it was at the end of fiscal year 2018. According to the Department of Administration, notably, the six largest ending general fund balances in state history have all occurred in the six full fiscal years that Governor Evers has been in office. The new annual fiscal report released by DOA, which covers fiscal year 2025, that ended on June 30th, is available on DOA's website.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is inviting residents to participate in Drug Take Back Day this month. The event is held twice each year, giving Wisconsinites a chance to dispose of unwanted or unneeded medications at collection sites across the state. Department of Health Services officials say the spring collection this year took in nearly 57,000 pounds of unwanted medications. The fall Drug Take Back Day will be held on October 25th. Wausau residents can drop off capsules, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, ointments, patches, pills, and vials to the Wausau Police Department. For more information, visit the Wisconsin DHS website. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Last chance for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where it's do or die for the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. Milwaukee losing again last night 3-1, now down 3-0. The Brewers only have 9 hits in this series so far. The last time that happened in the postseason was in 1906. First pitch tonight at Dodger Stadium, 7:38. NFL, the Packers head to Arizona tomorrow to play the Cardinals. Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with some controversial statements, saying the NFL has a double standard for calling penalties to protect the players on offense and not on defense.
Who are we kidding? You want to fine guys for putting their head down, but you can be engaged with an offensive tackle and a guard can come put his head right into your head. And look how many times that's on film. Guys putting their head down and trying to come clean your clock. But you can't do that to offensive players. Get a $50,000 fine. I might get a fine for this conference.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Your Friday afternoon looking partly sunny and breezy with south to southwest winds still up around 25. A late day shower or storm possible with highs in the low to mid 70s. Better chance of showers and storms tonight, low to mid 50s. It's 69 at our studios.
On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team wraps up the regular season, traveling to River Falls to take on the 7-1 Wildcats. Hear all the action live from the Culver Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Clover Belt Credit Union. It's Wausau West at River Falls in high school football. Live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allball Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allball. Yeah, freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to the Todd Allball Show for this Friday, October 17th, 2025. 6 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. We start the show on this Friday with breaking news, along with producer engineer Aaron Zommers. We welcome you in. Lots to get to today, but making the news headlines about an hour ago, our very own Jimmy Cuska reporting this initially as part of his role is calling sporting events for the UW-Platteville Athletic Department. Therefore, Jimmy is on the UW-Platteville official mailing list. He first let us know this news, and now Channel 3000, WISC-TV, the CBS affiliate here in Platteville. The headline this afternoon, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Baraboo Sauk County campus is closing in the spring semester, after the spring semester of 2026. Here's the story, courtesy of Channel 3000, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville will be ceasing operations on its Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd, 2026. The decision came after, quote, careful considerations, unquote, that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout this transition. Officials said that the spring 2026 semester will continue as planned with in-person classes at the Baraboo Sauk County campus. UW-Platteville is set to help students transition to the main campus. The university will develop individualized plans for the staff and faculty. The statement coming from UW-Platteville Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich says, quote, this decision was not made lightly. Enrollment continues to decline on that campus, and we are committed to being good partners with the city and county by ensuring that the campus can be used in ways that best serve the region. We remain dedicated to supporting our students, faculty, and staff through the transition. Student success is at the heart of our mission, and it goes on from there, unquote. That are the words of the UW-Platteville Chancellor, which oversees UW-Baraboo as well. The campus opened in 1968, and, of course, comes after the first of the two-year campuses in the UW system, one of 13 at the time, the University of Wisconsin, Center Richland. We were there when that news first broke. And subsequently, by my count, and I'll stand corrected, by my count, this is now the seventh of the 13 two-year campuses that will be closed under the tenure of the University of Wisconsin System President Jay Rothman and during the term of Democratic Governor Tony Evers. Joining us to discuss this breaking news via telephone from his home in Richland Center, the former Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader, Republican Dale Schultz, who also served in as many roles over his time in the legislature as the chair of the Higher Education Committee in the state Senate, which oversees both the UW system and the technical college system in this state. And, of course, he spent time on the powerful Joint Finance Committee. Dale, and in full disclosure, I was Dale's chief of staff for a time as well. Dale, good afternoon. Thank you for making time on this disturbing news afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. This is indeed disturbing news. You know, I was always very proud of the University of Wisconsin when it believed that the borders of the university are the borders of the state. And with each campus that closes, those borders shrink in size, and the students, the traditional and non-traditional students who depended on these campuses, find themselves being left high and dry. And for a state that once prided itself on its educational prowess, it is indeed a sad day. And you know what is so insulting is that once again, the university board of regents and administration didn't hold a public discussion and forum. And yes, they dropped the news late on Friday, where all news goes to the graveyard as quickly as possible.
Dale, you represented, correct me if I'm wrong, over your 30-plus years in the state legislature, the assembly, and the state senate, you always either represented UW-Baraboo, UW-Richland, or UW-Platteville, or at one time, I think, all three. So you're keenly aware of the needs and the resources of these universities in southwest Wisconsin. And it would seem to me, and what I find to be particularly disingenuous in this is Chancellor Avedovich saying that they're going to be there to help the community transition. We know that UW-Richland County, another very financially strained county where you're at, I'm from, and Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz got $2 million in the last budget through the Joint Finance Committee to help Richland County, quote-unquote, transition. But the untold story is Richland County had to take over $1 million of that just to build a new bridge to get the equipment onto campus to help do some of these things that need to be done. Where is the promise for actual dollars for Sauk County, Dale? And talk to us a little bit about, about this. Sauk County taxpayers have already allocated resources that were very needed for their county nursing home because they were told that if they did that, the UW system in Platteville would work to save this Baraboo campus.
Well, that's pretty much the story. And I think once again, the rug was pulled out from underneath folks and people in this area who are worried about the economy like they are in many places in this country, particularly young people. The ability to be job worthy depends on continuing education and access to education. And this just is another nail in the coffin. And it means that rural areas and smaller communities are going to not prosper like they should. I mean, I don't know that I can say that these communities will dry up and blow away, but I do know that they've invested considerable money, resources, time in trying to make this a cornerstone of industrial development, tourism, and a way to bring young people back to these communities. And now it appears to be for naught.
We're talking with former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz of Richland Center, a Republican, also served as the chair of the Senate Higher Education Committee, about this breaking news that UW System and UW Platteville have announced that UW Baraboo, the two-year college there connected to UW Platteville, will be closing after May of this coming year. Dale, one more question on this. I want to move to one other breaking news story or hot news story of the day. On this campus thing, You've been to the legislature, you've seen the importance. I know you understand the importance of higher education for rural counties. But what do you make? I want to go back to something you said earlier. What do you make of President Jay Rothman never setting foot in Richland County and talking with local elected leaders or campus people? I don't see any evidence that he did so at in Sauk County for this Baraboo campus. I haven't found evidence he's done it at any other of the two-year colleges that he's closed. And even Democratic Governor Tony Evers, we never hear anything. All we hear is this excuse of, well, the enrollment is low. Well, 178 people at the Baraboo campus might be down, but it wasn't like it was 50-something at Richland. And the system never provided monies for a recruiter for these colleges. Why isn't there more transparency on both the UW system part, on the Republicans in the Joint Finance Committee, and Governor Evers?
For many years, the system was engaged in enrollment management. And somebody decided they weren't going to do anymore. And I assume it was since there wasn't support or enough support for the university from the state, they had to turn to more lucrative ways of getting the money from students, were from out of state. And again, what that does to the students in this state overall is it means that they have less opportunities. And, you know, it's getting to the point where there isn't any mystery why people are upset and angry about government in all its respects. It's just hard to trust anybody. They never carry through on their word. They don't seem to be interested. It's just a bunch of folks who think they have all the answers and they don't need to listen to anybody. People want a seat at the table. They want an opportunity to discuss what's important to them and the issues that are important to them, and they don't seem to get it. Folks want to brush things under the rug. They want to provide, you know, the complete transparency. And in the end, it leaves the general public, with a bad taste in their mouth. And what it looks to me is further evidence of bad leadership.
Dale Schultz, former Senate Majority Leader for Wisconsin, on the phone with us. I want to get your comments on one other story that's been breaking over the last 24 to 40 hours. The Capital Times breaking a story on Department of Public Instruction here in Wisconsin. Headline, 200 teacher sexual misconduct grooming cases here in the state of Wisconsin shielded from the public. And this is a lengthy story. It's a disturbing story. The gist of it is that over 200 cases of licensed both teachers, aides, support staff were investigated for sexual misconduct in the state and was never brought into the light of day. The Capital Times, the reporting, found at least 44% of the Department of Public Instruction's over 450 educator license investigations since 2018 involved sexual misconduct and grooming allegations. Here's what's odd to me is that Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley declined requests for this interview with the Capital Times, saying that, quote, it would create a conflict of interest, unquote, since Underley oversees educator licenses. That's according to her spokesperson, Chris Boucher. Dale, it's a disturbing story, but just your general comments on this reporting by the Capital Times and the reaction or non-reaction of Superintendent Underley. 2 minutes.
Well, I think that the Capital Times deserves everyone in this state's gratitude for their aggressive reporting and getting to the issues that really concern people these days. With the Joseph Epstein thing in Washington, D.C., people have begun to believe that we are got pedophiles everywhere. Now, the facts have yet to come out and should come out on every single one of these cases. Perhaps some are real grooming type problems. Others might just be blown out of proportion issues, but every one of them deserves a thorough and transparent discovery process. And it looks to me like here again in Madison, we've missed the opportunity to bring Republicans and Democrats together on something which is not partisan, and to sit them down and say, let's sort this out. Let's put in place some policies, procedures, and laws to make sure that Wisconsin isn't in this position again. You know, once upon a time, we were proud in this state of what people everywhere thought of our educational systems and schools. And it just seems, you know, these two stories, you know, again, are just more chinks in the armor that made us something that was special. And that's too bad, because we're better than that. We deserve better than that. And I hope that the governor will provide the leadership and the legislature
Dale Schultz,
will come together.
Up against the clock. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Come on back. We'll discuss both these breaking news stories on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, TGIF Friday edition, October 17th, 2025, 22 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Not a lot of fun in this hour, but we'll get to it in hour number two. Coming up in hour number two, Craig Benzine and Ty Morris of No Packers, No Life, great film. Going to be here briefly talking about their latest screening coming up this weekend, tomorrow, maybe one tonight as well, but tomorrow here in Madison, we'll talk with them. A brand new segment we're calling Wisconsin Fun Fact. What's worse? Are you an allergy person? We'll talk about that. And Peter Rapine rounds out the show, the managing editor of EPOM's World, with a humorous look at the weekend review. But for some huge news day for a Friday, as often is the case, and taking your calls on it, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. First, this breaking news, courtesy of Channel3000.com. The University of Wisconsin-Platteville will close the Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd of next year. Decision came after quote-unquote careful consideration and that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout the transition. Once again, UW System is blaming the closure on enrollment, saying there are only 178 students left at the Baraboo Sauk County campus. And we've heard this narrative for going on 3 years. from when they first closed the Richland campus. But what they don't want to talk about, Jay Rothman, president of the system, what they don't want to talk about, Tony Evers in the governor's office, what most of the legislature doesn't want to talk about, both Republicans and Democrats, sans for State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat here in Madison, who has had the temerity and the courage and leadership to go out into the state of Wisconsin and meet with communities and meet with students and speak out about this. Former Democratic State Representative Katrina Shanklin of Stevens Point did the same thing. But other than those folks, all silent. They announced these things on Friday. Nobody has a comment. Nobody has a press conference. Jay Rothman doesn't visit these communities. You don't see Tony Evers holding listening sessions in Baraboo on this. And meanwhile, higher education in the state is dying on the vine. The Wisconsin idea right now in this state looks a lot closer to the University of Wisconsin Badger football team. Pertner dead. And what outrages me is they don't have the balls to go out and face the people of this state and tell them why they're doing it. They say it's enrollment. Give me a break. Because they don't fund the recruiters to get students there. I know this for a fact. There was a missing $1 million, allegedly, a missing $1 million in the Platteville Foundation fund after Dennis Shields left before Tammy Yovanovitch took over, and nobody wants to talk about it. And when I raise this to people, now one of them, Jeff Barrant, who's no longer with President Rothman, when I raise this to their face, they look at me and say, how did you know about that? Believe me, there is a lot more going on here that Wisconsinites, voters, and taxpayers don't know about. And all I'm asking for from Evers, from Jay Rothman, just be honest. We can take it. Just be honest. Because the real people being hurt are the students and the people people trying to go back, non-traditional students to get their finish their degrees. People in rural Wisconsin trying to get a degree, just make them their lives better. Help themselves. But everybody wants to hide behind, you know, Friday evening, Friday afternoon press dumps. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Rick. Rick, you got about 2 minutes here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just remembering back when you and I were at Richland Center, and we had international students there. Ever since they decided to pair these two-year campuses with larger universities, the recruiting and stuff has gone down at these two-year campuses. They're not trying. And Platteville especially, they came out at the beginning and said they did not want to recruit for these two-year campuses.
Correct. No, you're absolutely right, Rick, and I appreciate you calling in. Thanks for your listenership. And yeah, when we were going to the 2 years, these international programs, I just went to a celebration of life for my friend Linda Gentis, who ran the Central American Scholarship Program, international, a continuing education program. Vital necessities for these rural communities, for everybody, but particularly for small communities. By the way, Chris and Madison on the text line listening to us on WMDX said Dale Schultz is correct. Public education is only one example of Wisconsin's slide to mediocrity under the right-wing Republicans. I was once proud of my state, not anymore. And Chris, I don't disagree. I agree that a large part of this falls on the Republicans in the legislature and the Joint Finance Committee for not properly funding these things. But look, I'm being fair here. You got to assess some of the blame to the Democratic governor in the governor's office in the East Wing, Tony Evers. He could have drawn a line in the sand on this last budget deal for that. He chose not to. Look, that's his choice. All I'm asking for, Governor Evers, is just have the gumption to be honest with us. Just come out and say, look, I don't think we should have two-year colleges anymore. They've outlived their purpose. We're closing them all. Because that's where this is headed, by the way. There will be no two-year colleges left at the end of this culling. Connected to the UW system. They got rid of the map. Do you realize this? The official map of the UW system used to have the 13 four-years and 13 two. They redid the logo, changed the colors, changed the name, and they eliminated all of the 2 years off the map. You don't think that was a sign? Come on back after this. It's the Tyler Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
The U.S. is still in a bit of a tight spot when it comes to soybeans, with no buys coming from China and a large supply coming from the harvest. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and there is a lot of work being done to try to find some new markets. The United Soybean Board Director Nancy Kavazanjian is here to share a bit about how they're trying to get more soybeans into Africa.
In Africa, more than 70% of the farmers are women. So it is important to have other women farmers there to talk farmer to farmer. Nigeria is the largest country in Africa. It also is a major aquaculture market. It's a country that needs more protein to feed their markets and feed their people. So if we can show them how to do a better job of raising their fish more efficiently using soy, it's a win-win both for us because we're developing markets for soy and they're developing markets to feed their people.
Nancy Kavazanjian, the United Soybean Board Director. And as someone that likes both soybeans and fish, it just sounds like a great partnership that hopefully we can move forward on. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Maybe you remember finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too much carnival food. We all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to share the fair story. We're accepting entries now, and there are cash prizes. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. With spooky season here, the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center will be extending their Halloween festivities to 2 days. The first day will be Saturday, October 25th, and the second day will be Friday, October 31st. When you're there, there's so much to do with treats, costumes, animals, corn maze, and lots of Wisconsin products. If you like this news and want more of it, make sure to download our brand new Midwest Farm Report app on your app store. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Your Friday afternoon looking partly sunny and breezy with south to southwest winds still up around 25. A late day shower or storm possible with highs in the low to mid 70s. Better chance of showers and storms tonight, low to mid 50s. Currently 71 degrees.
On Saturday, the Newman Catholic High School football team opens up the playoffs, traveling to Frederick for a level one matchup. Hear all the exciting action live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. Newman Catholic High School football is brought to you by the Newman Catholic Athletic Booster Club, Sun Printing, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Rocket Industrial and the Wausau Business Show, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Newman Catholic at Frederick in an 8-player football WIAA Level 1 playoff. Saturday, live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 12:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 1 on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the events from the weekend, including local No Kings rallies across Wisconsin. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20, make it 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Friday, TGIF, October 17th, 2025. A little out of voice today. I'll explain in just a little bit. Went to the doctor right before the show. It's one of these Todd stories. We'll get into that a little bit. First, I want to finish up these more serious things. Talking about the news breaking this afternoon, the University of Wisconsin-Platteville Baraboo at Sauk County campus. If you're not familiar, Sauk County is right below Wisconsin Dells. Most people know where Wisconsin Dells is at, Baraboo just south of that. Going to close the campus at Baraboo after the spring 2026 semester. 178 students enrolled right now. And UW System says that is why they're closing it. They call it low enrollment. Which, by the way, as someone knows a little bit about this, as my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was the first woman dean of a campus in Wisconsin at UW-Richland and helped found the two-year campuses, like one of the concepts was a smaller class size. More specialized attention. Okay, well, maybe they say the average class size at Baraboo is 14. When I went to UW-Richland, it was probably 25-ish. Somewhere between 20 and 25-ish. Some classes have maybe 35. My problem with this is they're not being honest. And they haven't been for 3 years since they closed the first one at Richland County. Because neither Jay Rothman, the president of the system, Tony Evers, or people from their administration will go on the... Well, I guess Rothman sent one of his people out to Richland County. But these guys, as decision makers, as the heads, the executive, will not meet with their constituents, will not meet with taxpayers and explain what's really going on. And they don't fund recruiters to get kids to these schools like they did when I was going there. So if you're not funding recruiters, if you're the Republican legislature and you're not putting the money in there, just be honest about it. Again, where's Tony Evers' statement today calling Jay Rothman out? Haven't seen one. Don't think we will. By my count, we're on two-year school number 7 being closed. Have a town hall. Go online. I mean, have an online hall. And have Republicans and legislative leaders sit down and explain their plan for the University of Wisconsin system. I think we're entitled at least to that. 855-752-4842. Gene, listening on try that again, Todd. It's been one of those days.
Okay.
I apologize, Gene. WCFW, the tap up in beautiful Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, you don't have to do that every time. I love your passion, your concern, and we're all blessed to have you on the air. I want you to know that.
But...
I have to say, not a but. That's a good thing. It really is. And people need to be aware of this because it's happening in every single area of our lives.
Our state.
It's happening with physicians. It's happening with hospitals. It's happening with schools. It's happening with businesses. It's happening everywhere. And I don't know where a person just picks, unfortunately, where they can go when we got people that are serving in our state, where Scotty Walker came in and started cutting everything and doing exactly what Trump's doing in our federal government. And we got these Republicans who will not open the purse strings and help the people and do things for the people, which is really insulting and it's infuriating. Mm. So, you know, there's you can pick something from every avenue of our lives, but we all need to fight back by protesting, by calling these people, and also by, you know, and have your voice heard and think of strategies and interview the people that are running and find somebody that's really going to stand out there and they're going to fight. Because I think there's a lot of people that are really getting pooped out from fighting the nonstop battles. And also, I want to say one more thing about sexual abuse. Very, very difficult thing to deal with. However,
The DPI story is a different story, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. And I worked with kids who were sexually abused, okay? And I worked in the school system, okay? But the thing of it is that, you know, I don't know how they do their background checks now, but they used to do really good background checks. They used to have a lot of people applying for the schools. Now there's all kinds of openings in the schools. So, you know, we need to get back to getting qualified people and good people there. And also we need to give this some time here because they cannot impact teachers who have not committed these crimes to get their name out there and all of a sudden, you know, they won't be able to teach ever again if they did not do it. So it's really it's a scary thing though because this is alarming. So
let me ask you quickly because you've worked in education and you're very astute. You pay attention to these things. Keep me honest. Do you think it is irrational or asking too much that our elected officials on both sides give us the truth about these campus closures? Because I think what's interesting about this is I don't hear anything from either side. This isn't, you know, the Democrats going after Robin Voss, the Republicans for these two-year campus closures, or vice versa. They're both silent, and they're not criticizing each other, which to me seems very, very odd in these political times.
Well, let me tell you something. If I had a list of all the things that I have very strong concerns about, you know, I mean, where do you choose? Yeah. And how big of a population do you choose? And I feel really bad because they need help there. And the sooner we get good people in our government, maybe this will be able to rebuild from this. But we're blessed to have you on the air.
we're blessed to have you as a listener. Thanks, Gene. Have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Gene in Eau Claire, WCFW The Tap, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. John, listening in beautiful Janesville, Wisconsin, on WAUK, says this campus closure situation was all started with Ray Cross, i.e. double cross. I like that. This was their plan to make the four-year take the blame for not funding the UW system. Thanks, John. I appreciate your listenership. John is not wrong about that. We've talked about this on the show before. Ray Cross, who was the chancellor of the two-year colleges, the last one before they merged, and then he became president, and there was a thoughtful plan how to keep our two-year campuses, adapt them to changing times by, I guess, the final chancellor, Kathy Sandine. And Ray Cross, then as president, shelved that, didn't let it see the light of day, and went to the Board of Regents and the 4 years and said, all right, here's the deal. You're going to get these two-year campuses. You're going to get these two. You don't have a choice. And he literally, from people in the room, Ray Cross, as president of the UW system, told the four-year chancellors, quote, you're either going to sink or swim, unquote. That was the plan by Ray Cross. And clearly they're sinking. And then as John points out, predominantly Republicans in the legislature underfunded the UW system. And this is where it gets weird. Tony Evers gets elected governor. Most governors appoint the Board of Regents. They're staggered terms. And so by this time now, Tony Evers had a majority of Democratic appointed Board of Regents. So the governor essentially gets to make the call at that point who the assistant president is. And they allow Jay Rothman, former head of Foley & Lardner, huge law firm, never had any experience in education, mind you, but the head of a law firm. You know what heads of major law firms, their main job is? Cut. Bottom line. Dollars. No emotion. And that's exactly what they got in Jay Rothman. So it seems like a very odd and disturbing set of bedfellows politically in this case when it comes to the closing of the two-year schools. Because you don't hear Democrats. I mean, where is the liberal Democrats today? Where are their press statements attacking Jay Rothman? I mean, they're smart people. They don't miss an opportunity. There's been six closures and now today seven. Other than Kelda Royce and Katrina Shanklin, crickets. Anyway, we'll keep following this story. Obviously, I'm passionate about it. We mentioned this earlier. If you did not hear Jane Matinair and Greg Bach and Dan Schaefer this morning on Matinair on Air, I encourage you to go back and listen to the podcast. You can find it at civicmedia.us. They had an informative and good, in this case, I guess you'd say, discussion on this Capital Times story, reporting by Danielle DeClos at the Capital Times. Came out a couple days ago here. And it details a major problem at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction and Dr. Jill Underley. 200 teachers of sexual misconduct cases, grooming cases, were shielded from the public. And what's particularly disturbing to me, well, first and foremost, the alleged victims here, but secondarily, the fact that the newly elected Department of Public Instruction head, Jill Underley, will not talk about this, refused to talk to the Capital Times. Her spokesperson, blaming it on Republicans, saying that, well, you know, we had a line item in the joint finance budget for $600,000 that would have looked at more of these types of things and addressed it. But Republicans voted it down. Fine. I blame the Republicans for that. But why in the heck? This is where Democrats are so bad at messaging. Because Republicans would have had in their satchels, a press or a handout if the joint finance would have voted that down and said, okay, here's the facts. This is why Robin Voss, the Republicans, and Howard Markline are not keeping our kids safe because they just cut $600,000 that would have kept our kids safe. But we never heard that from Underley or anybody else at DPI until now. And if it got voted down by the Joint Finance Committee, why in the heck wasn't Jill Underley and DPI immediately calling for a separate bill, just like the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund people? That didn't get through the Joint Finance, but they've launched a public campaign working bipartisanly in the legislature right now on two different bills to fund the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund. Underley on this? Crickets. I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Jill Underley will not survive this. That is my prediction. Because how can you, if you're somebody in the Wisconsin Public Education Network, or if you're somebody in WEAC, the largest teachers union in the state, how can you invite Jill Underley to your conventions and events until she answers these things? You can't. I think she'll be forced to resign. And in my understanding of Wisconsin law, Governor Evers will appoint a new superintendent. Because you can't justify this. And it's a very graphic and very heartbreaking article from the Cap Times. And yes, there may be, this is important, there may be some people that were falsely accused. And they should have, and in many cases, and by the way, the cases in this Cap Times story, they're over. We'll come back. We'll explain it more because this is really important. Stay with us. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
On Friday night, the Wausau West High School football team wraps up the regular season, traveling to River Falls to take on the 7-1 Wildcats. Hear all the action live from the Clover Belt Credit Union broadcast booth, starting with the pregame show at 6:35 p.m. and the opening kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Wausau West football on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, Featherstone Cabinetry, the Wausau West Gridiron Club, K5 Construction, Rocket Industrial, and the Cloverbelt Credit Union. It's Wausau West at River Falls in high school football. Live from the Cloverbelt Credit Union broadcast booth, Friday night, starting with the pregame show at 6:35, kickoff at 7 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It's 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, at the top of the hour. ABC, CBS News, weather, sports by a great sports reporter, Mike Clemens. And in hour number two, we have Craig Benzine and Ty Morse from the great new film, No Packers, No Life, going to talk about new screenings this weekend, trying to fit in a Wisconsin fun fact, what's worse. And then Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, comes in with a humorous look at the weekend review. Lots to get to, a short time to get there. Talking about this story, the Capital Times, a couple days ago. Again, if you didn't hear, go back and listen to Matt Nair on air this morning on civicmedia.us. Greg Bach, along with Jane Matt Nair and our political editor, Dan Schaefer, had a thorough discussion on this Capital Times story, or go to the Cap Times and read it yourself. Danielle DeClos. A year-long investigation into the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. Want to be clear. These were allegations against over 200 teachers, educators, aides, administrators, people in different school districts across Wisconsin that had misconduct/grooming cases that were shielded from the public. Some very graphic, disturbing details in this. My understanding in reading this article is that these are individuals who had allegations, in some cases graphic, and Wisconsin law provides one of the things in there that if you give up your educator, if you give up your license, you don't have to basically be investigated any further. And so those some individuals did that. And the problem is, or the concern is, that these individuals are on a list at DPI and it was not shared. And when they gave up their license, it doesn't say why. So theoretically, they could be hired somewhere else. And there's a database list at Department of Public Instruction they've been sitting on and essentially forced the Capital Times to issue a Freedom of Information Act request to get this. In other words, tried to stop the press from getting this information. Because the only reason you file a information request, because you ask, is, hey, can I get this? No, not unless you file a request. And so that's very disturbing. And Dr. Jill Underly, no comment. And they're trying to blame it on the Republicans, saying, well, they were underfunded. Fine. But why didn't they immediately call for a bipartisan bill to fund this? Why did it take a Freedom of Information request to find this information out? And let me be clear about this. Republicans are already using this to go after all of public education. This is the problems with it, and politicize this. And let me also be clear, as someone who spends a lot of time with public educators and goes to a lot of these forums, there are teachers right now, and this is a real story, not anybody I know personally, but a teacher educator saw a cell phone in the back of a student's pants, like in their jeans or whatever. And in that school, you're not supposed to have your cell phone in the classroom. The teacher said, hey, I see your cell phone. Please take it back to your locker. The father of that kid called the district the next day and said, why is that teacher looking at my kid's ass? That's where we're at on that side of it. So, now you've got this story by the Cap Times and Jill Underly only making everything worse by not just being truthful about it up front. I don't see how she politically survives. 855-752-4842. Rick, if you could do it quickly, please. Rick in Waukesha on WAUK. Go ahead.
Okay. Frontline has a program about Paradise, California that burnt down 40,000 homes and a bunch of deaths. And before it happened, and during and after it happened, and all of the groups involved, departments of government, different groups of the media, it started on Campfire Road, and the public thought it started by a campfire. It started by the electrical towers, and they couldn't get a fire truck to it when it was very little. Now, all of these groups explain all their reasons through this program, and it's all pointing fingers in a circle. It's every group, and then eventually the groups unite that it's nobody's fault.
So your point is that the historians of Wisconsin, we have to have more transparency.
No, that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Now, this program was made like 4 years later, so they have all kinds of victims involved, interviews, and it's very well done. And this is how multiple groups program, and then eventually they cleanse themselves of their part, all as a group.
Appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you very much. Rick and Waukesha, AUK. Yes, it doesn't matter whether it's in California or Wisconsin. You need transparency, whether that's the EW system, whether that's Department of Public Instruction. You need transparency. Linda on the text line in Middleton, listening on WMDX here in Madison, says she was a charter member of the charter class. Of BU, in other words, UW-Baraboo, said, so very sad. I met my husband there. It is disgusting. Whatever happened to the Wisconsin idea? Linda in Middleton, thanks. I appreciate that. On our leading story today of the UW-Baraboo campus closing in this announcement here this afternoon. Lots to get to. Obviously, not going to have we'll work this in, try to, before the end of the show. The No Kings rally this weekend. Be careful out there if you're going, and be prepared if you're not, if you're watching, for lots of disinformation. I've got stories here about misinformation in Chicago, stories of misinformation in Oregon, where the federal government, it's been proven now, has manipulated video to try to justify use of force. So be careful what you see and hear this weekend from trusted news sources or otherwise. Let this play out, because there's going to be a lot of disinformation. I would say stay the heck off of social media this weekend as well. Look, one, two, I mean, I have stacks of news. So we could do 4 hours today, but we won't. We'll come back, though, after news, weather, and sports, and lighten it up a bit. We'll talk about the Green Bay Packers, and Peter Rapine is along as well. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is in talks with President Trump behind closed doors at the White House at this hour. Before the talks began, he said he believes Trump can end Russia's invasion of his country.
I'm confident that with your help, we can stop this war.
Trump says he believes his summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Alaska got the two sides closer to peace.
Things are coming along pretty well. It began with Alaska, where I think certain guidelines were discussed, and we want to see if we can get this done.
Zelensky says he's willing to meet with Putin.
We are ready to speak in any kind of format, bilateral, trilateral, doesn't matter. Matter, just peace. This is important.
Trump told Zelensky he's not ready to sell Ukraine a long-range missile system that the Ukrainians say they desperately need. The missiles would allow them to hit deep inside Russia. CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.